Well, I hope you're excited this morning. I hope that you are. I hope that you know what, it's March Madness. Is that what they tell us, right? It's March Madness. We should be excited. Matter of fact, I thought about having you do the wave, across the church. You know, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we be able to do the wave? We're serving an awesome God, are we not? I mean, we should, if anything else, we should want to do that. You know, this is my favorite time of year. Not because I like spring. Don't get me wrong, I like it because spring's coming this coming week. You know, the time change just happened and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? The NCAA men's basketball tournament is on its way. And you know what? It started here the last couple of weeks, of course. Our two fine state universities are involved in it. The West Virginia Mountaineers and the Big Green Bovine from Huntington. They're both of them's in it. That's Marshall, as you might well know. They're in it as well this evening. We got to give them credit for that. But you know what? And what I was thinking about, that there's 64 teams that are involved in this. And when it all ends up, there's only going to be one that's going to be crowned national championship. We know that. A lot of people put a lot of effort into this. Bear with me a little bit, because I'm going to get to the point of my sermon here a little bit. My sermon's called March Madness. And you know what? And what I want to say, a lot of people put a lot of effort into this. People get, they get enthused, they get passionate about this time of year. And you know that as well as I do. You know, a lot of people fill out brackets. I have a crew up work that, and I go back to the lunchroom, Patty, and there's brackets back there. There's ways to fill them out. They put a lot of effort into it. But you know what? Everybody fills out the brackets. They study the teams. They look at all the statistics and see what's involved in them, see what they got. And one of the guys had a paper up there, and I looked at it. He showed it to me. All of you people that fill out brackets, if you do not have one high school All-American parade on your team, they have not won. No team has ever won a national championship without one All-American high school player on it. That's just a little thing that everybody, this just goes to show you how much effort people put into something like that. People are either in front of their TVs or on their radios or doing something, knowing ultimately there'll only be one winner. Only one team gets it. There's only one winner. But listen to this. They are fanatical, to say the least, about their teams. Listen, you've seen over the weekend, if a team wins, they'll rush the floor, right? They rush the floor. If their team just wins, like a conference championship or something like that. I know one guy that's dressed up like a Buckeye nut. He was dressed up like that. I seen that the other day. Excitement. Excitement overcomes rational behavior a lot of times. People, like I said, people doing the way, people who would not usually be caught dead doing stuff like that will do it this time of year. People will paint their bodies. You know what? They'll dress up like their favorite team colors. And I am getting to a point here a little bit. They are absolutely fanatical. Everybody gets crazy. Their fandom comes out. Now, as we get to celebrate the greatest history, the greatest event in human history, is coming up in 2 weeks. Easter Sunday. The greatest event in human history. Let me ask you something this morning. Why would we not be fanatical about that? Why would we not be? Why would we think that we? I know, I like what Greg said this morning. He said, you know what? Hey, he's held himself back long enough. I'm going to ask everybody in here this morning. I hope you're not holding nothing back when it comes to serving the Lord. I hope that you are a fanatic. You know where fan comes from, right? It's the short word for fanatic. And that's what a fan is. Let me ask you something. Are you a fan of Jesus this morning? Amen. I am. I am a fan. And you know what? I would tell you this morning that I am a fanatic of Him, no matter what the world may call me. Because praise God. You know what? I thought about this the other day. You're either a thermostat or you're a thermometer. Amen? Right? You're either a thermostat or you're a thermometer. If you're a thermostat, you're controlling what's going on in your life. Amen? If you're a thermometer, you're just looking and reading what's happened already. But praise God, I hope your thermostat's here this morning. I hope and pray that you are so on fire for God. You know what? If the Lord put it upon you, Nancy, to do the wave, you'd do the wave, wouldn't you? Amen. Because you know what? Why should we let the world dictate to us how that we should worship sometimes, Greg. How should we do? We are getting ready to celebrate Jesus Christ, Easter Sunday morning, raising from the dead and making a way for you and I to be saved, making a way for you and me to go to heaven one of these days. Man alive, that should be enough to make you shout the house down this morning. Because praise God, you know, we should show it to everyone around us. I'm not asking everyone to stand up and do the wave. You know, I'm not asking that. Because, praise God, we serve a true winner. We serve a true winner this morning. Amen? A true winner, by undisputed, undefeated champion of the world, Michelle. That's who we serve this morning. Why wouldn't we want to be a fanatic about Him? Why wouldn't we want to be a fanatic about our Christianity? In 2 Timothy, it tells us this, 1:9-10, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Hey, listen, if you are a Christian here this morning, you're immortal. Do you realize that? Amen. You are immortal. You know what? Even if you're not a Christian here this morning, I've said it before, you are immortal in that way as well. But praise God, I am so thankful that He has given us that. But praise be to God, that should make every one of us say this. Stand and praise Him and clap our hands and do the wave, whatever. Paint Jesus on our forehead. Amen? Jesus loves us on our forehead. And you know what? Get all kind of Jesus tattoos all over us. People do that stuff. And they're fanatic and they call them fans. Praise God, this morning there isn't no bigger fan than the one that I'm serving here this morning, Jesus Christ. Amen? You know what? Why wouldn't whenever Jesus Christ, you know, every time His name is mentioned, why wouldn't we want to rush the altar? You know, like they do. Why wouldn't we want to run up here and say praise and jump and shout like banshees, as my grandmother used to say? Why wouldn't we want to do that? Because we serve one that is so much greater, so much better. All over the sanctuary, amen. Why would we want to hold up signs and say John 3:16, amen? Why wouldn't we want to do that? What are you talking about, Pastor? Enthusiasm in a church? There's people say, what are you talking about? Why would we want enthusiasm in a church? We should be dignified. We should be serious. Really? Really, we should be? Really? Is that how we should be? How is it that people have no problem letting their enthusiasm show when it's something else? Amen? I would say that if you went down to the state basketball tournament yesterday, you saw people that were very enthusiastic about their teams, right? Right? Amen. You know what? And I'm here to tell you this morning, you know what? Why is it that whenever we come in here sometimes, why is it that, you know what? We sit back here like little church mice. Maybe see a yawn or two. You know what? Maybe see that. Why do we do that for? When we are serving the one that has won it all and done it all. Praise God this morning. I tell you what, I am so thankful for that. You know what? You go to a concert and people will get their little lighters out and hold them up and do all kind of stuff like that at concerts. You know what? Why don't we do that with Jesus? Amen? Why don't we do that with the one that has done it all for us? Why don't we do that here this morning? You know, I'm thankful. The church doesn't have to be quiet as a mouse. It doesn't have to be. You know what? I'm reminded of the scripture. You know, and I'm going to get to my scripture here in a little bit. I haven't even read my scripture yet. It's over in Acts 16 if you want to turn there. Over in Acts 16. Starting with verse 19. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailers to keep them safely. who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Thou shalt be saved in thy house. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, again, I thank you, Father, for your mercy. I thank you for your grace, Lord. I pray, Father, as the sermon goes out, to give the rest of it, Lord, I pray, Father, that your will would be done, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that that hearts would be touched, Lord. And that, Father, that our minds would be opened and we could see the will of your, what you'd have for us in this life, Lord. We praise you for that and we give you the praise. And amen. In Jesus' name. And amen. You know, and it said, listen to this. And it said, and Dave, Paul, I want you to understand here this morning. You know what? Whenever we become fanatical for Jesus Christ, something can happen. Do you understand that? Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises unto God at midnight. They had been beaten. They had been thrown into prison. But praise God, they weren't ashamed to let the world know around them at the time that Jesus Christ was the one that did this work in their lives. I'm telling you, folks, you know what? We have no problem. We go to a wrestling match, we go to a football game, we go to a basketball game, or we watch one on television. We have no problem showing our enthusiasm for all that. Why is it when we come into church, we can hardly show any enthusiasm for Him? I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe we need to show every ounce of enthusiasm for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please, you know what? Talking about how boring the preacher is, or how the reason that that the Sunday school teacher. Let me give you something that I believe. It makes no difference if you come to church because of the preacher, if you come to church because of the Sunday school teaching, if you come to church because of the music, if you come to church because the building is so great. You know what? Listen to me. That's not the reason we should be wanting to worship Jesus Christ. Amen. When you come into this church, you should be wanting to praise and worship Him. Amen. Why do we do it on a Sunday morning for? Because that's the day that He rose from the dead. That's why the church worships on Sunday mornings, is because we worship the day that He had risen from the grave. And praise God, Janet, this coming couple Sundays, we're going to really celebrate whenever He raised from the dead. Because you know what? I believe in my heart, that is something to get fanatical about. That's something we should all want to get fanatical about. We're going to do a little bracket right now, if you want to do a bracket with me. You know what? We're going to do a bracket. We got Jesus Christ and His team on one slot. And on the other hand, I want you to think about this. You know, on the other hand, all right, let's talk about Parkersburg South Patriots. Let's talk about the Work County Tigers. And let's put Jesus Christ. Has Work County ever been able to save a soul? Never. Has Parkersburg South ever been able to save a soul? No, they have not. Why wouldn't we not root for Him? Amen? Amen. Right. Why would we not root for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I want to ask you something else. You know what? I went to a little school called Clay Battelle High School. That's where I went to school. And you know what? Not one time where I've ever seen it where they were going to come back one of these days and make the world right. But you know what? The Lord and Savior that I serve, He said He's coming back one day and He will make it right one day. Amen? Amen. Amen. What about the Ravenswood Red Devils? What about Ripley Vikings? You know what? Have you ever seen them have a soul and have that person, you know what, lift it up and bring them closer to the Lord? I've never seen it one time. But praise God, I know one. That's what I'm telling you. I know the one today that can do all that. Praise the Lord this morning. I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart that whenever we come into church, we should be fanatical about serving Jesus Christ. When we go out in the world, we should be fanatical about serving Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Why would we not be? Why would we not want to be? For all that he has done. Alita, what he has done for us, I can't even stand here and tell you the rest of the day what Jesus Christ has done for me. I couldn't even stand here the rest of the day and tell you what he's done and how that he has blessed me, how that he has watched over me and cared for me. Even in the times that I didn't think he was there, he was there.
Amen.
You tell me one sporting team that'll do that with you.
Yeah.
They'll be there all the time with you, right? And guess what? They will lose. They will let you down. I'm here to tell you, I know I serve one that has never let me down. And I have let him down on numerous occasions. I'm going to be the first here to raise my hand. But I'm going to tell you, he has never once let me down. And I praise him for that. There's Paul and Silas. Like I said, there they are. They're beaten. They got chains. They're down in prison. And yet they're still singing, and they're still praising God. And you know what? There's times in our lives that, you know what? We get a little cold sometimes. We can't even praise him. Amen? Amen? We do that sometimes. And look at where they were at and what they come through. I'll tell you what. We should be willing to do the waving here this morning. We should be willing to stand and give him the praise. We should be willing. There should not be one of us in here this morning not willing to say, Lord, you have done the work in my life, and I want to praise you for that this morning.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, I hope you don't think I'm too harsh or too hard, but you know what? He deserves every bit of praise. He deserves every bit. Listen to me. There isn't nobody. You can ask my wife. You can ask my daughter. I tell you what, you want to talk about a fanatic about West Virginia football, basketball and stuff at one time, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tell them, dear, I was the worst. God convicted me so bad of that. And now you can ask them. I don't hardly watch it anymore. I check in on it. I don't hardly do that. Because why? Because I knew that there was something more. There's something more than just putting my hope and my trust in something that's temporal. I've got to, I understand that beyond all this is where my hope and everything lies, Greg. Everything that I have lies.
That's right. That's right.
And praise God, you know what? I've not been let down once. Not once have I been let down. I ask you this morning. I want you to check your own heart. I want you to put yourself, I want you to make a bracket out for yourself and find out where you stand with the Lord. Oh, what are you putting something over him? Are you putting this over him or that over him? I don't know what it may be, but I'm asking you this morning. This is March Madness, yes. But you know what? Praise God. March Madness ends into Easter Sunday, and praise God, there's no madness about that. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you have a need, if they come and get a song. Conquering death, hell, and the grave here this morning. I will tell you what. 1 Corinthians 15:55, they're getting ready, 57. You know this scripture. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is victory this morning. You want victory this morning? That is victory this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. If you got a need, stand if you would.